This is Teenage Sports. I am your host, Michael Barra. It is a big day in sports today. Lincoln Riley is heading to USC. The Oklahoma head coach will be leaving. They suffered a loss last night to Oklahoma State in what was a very good game, which will probably, if Oklahoma State wins out, will push them to the college football playoffs, which is crazy to think about. But yeah, so Lincoln Riley taking that USC job is very interesting. Obviously, USC has more prestige, but hasn't been good for a little while. They fired Clay Helton after, I believe, a few seasons. This past season, they fired him like week two. Obviously, did not like what they were getting there. And, I mean, a home run for USC. As much as I do not like OU as a TCU fan, I think any Texas school just doesn't like OU, even if we're not Texas. But Lincoln Riley's a get. I mean, he's 38, and they're probably paying him the mother load. He's been linked to LSU and Florida and, I mean, anything under the sun. But in an interview last night, he said he wasn't going to LSU, where he didn't say he wasn't going to go to USC. And this is quite massive for college football. It's been a few years, I believe, where we've seen a competitive Pac-12 team. And, you know, that roster may not next season be really good, but Lincoln Riley, one of the best recruiters. Lincoln Riley, one of the great offensive minds in college football. It's going to be very interesting to see what he can do over there in the Pac-12, which is just not very competitive. I'd say the least competitive out of the Power 5. I don't think that's really that debatable or that, like, crazy of a take. Pac-12 just isn't very good. I mean, I think their best team is Oregon this year. They were a decent team, but, I mean, he's going to have a lot less to compete from. Obviously, with OU moving to the SEC in a few years, maybe as early as 2023, either he's jumping ship to not have to go deal with that, or he wants to coach this USC team. The OU job is still pretty prestigious. It's still a good program, but maybe he saw just the light at the end of the tunnel. He thinks maybe he plateaued. Maybe he thinks that's as far as he can get, is a 10 and an undefeated season like he's had and gone to the playoffs and just not been able to compete with those top teams. And maybe, I mean, when he goes to USC, he's going to have really good talent now in California and not a lot of competition to deal with. There's not many good schools over there, prestigious schools, that he is going to be able to recruit from a lot of good prospects. And, you know, I assume he's just looking at that and thinking, I mean, he's probably licking his lips. I mean, currently at OU, he's competing with, I mean, all the Texas schools. He's competing with Oklahoma State a little bit, but he's competing with the Bamas, and obviously California products are still going to go to other schools, but there's a lot, if they're trying to stay somewhat regional, there's not much over there that's super talented. It's the mid-United States and over, like, east or other way, whatever, but it's very interesting. It's one of the big things. Obviously, the college season for many teams just ended that aren't going to go play in a conference championship, and then obviously we'll have bowl games. I don't know if he's going to continue his – I would highly doubt that he's going to continue to play or to coach the bowl game. Speaking that all this just came out now, with how transfers work and recruiting works, this is a very big time for coaching and the coaching carousel, as many like to call it. This is a very large time for that. So they're trying to get ahead of being able to get all those recruits and transfers. So that's why a lot of these announcements are coming out right now. Like we just saw Sonny Dykes at TCU, and there's some other smaller ones, and there's another one that I'm about to talk about. But Lincoln Riley to USC, big stuff. It's interesting. It's going to be fun to watch. I was a little surprised because I thought he was going to be there to lead that team into the SEC. I think they can compete, but yeah, it's very, very interesting that he'd rather go off and take the USC job, which is, again, a very good program, but they have not been very good at football as of recent. But there's anybody to turn them around? Lincoln Riley, I think, is going to be your guy. But let's move on. So another big one, Florida State. Fired Dan Mullen. He was terrible this past season. I think they waited a little bit longer on him so that they wouldn't have to pay his transfer or his pay his dues for firing him. But they did it anyway. Couldn't wait any longer. They want to be competitive in football. Florida just had a very bad year. Dan Mullen fired after this past Missouri game. And they're bringing in Billy Napier from the Raging Cajuns. I believe Billy Napier was like 21-2. Very hot commodity, very hot up-and-coming coach who has seen a lot of success. And I'm very interested to see what they can do over there at Florida because of just not being very good these past few years. And, I mean, they haven't been terrible, but that's another school that, like a USC, is prestigious and they expect to be good. I mean, if Luke Fickell leaves Cincinnati and they're bad for a few years, nobody's going to bat an eye. And nobody's going to really freak out because they're not – they don't hold the same prestige as a Florida or a USC, obviously. But with Billy Napier, I mean, he's young. He's joining, going to build his staff there at Florida. It's going to be very fun to watch. Florida, I don't think, is going to be very competitive still for a little while. But, I mean, they could blow me away. Napier could go in and really start. I mean, that's one thing with all these new coaches is it's not like the NFL where you can sign a few players and have a draft and you can really try to turn it around a little bit quicker. Like we've seen with like Sean McVay and the Rams. Some of these can take a few years, especially if the coach coming in just isn't a big fan of the recruits that the past regime had, and he has to recycle and get rid of some and bring in the new ones. That can take a year or two just to get going, but the good head coaches will still be able to put out with what they have, and that's why I do think Lincoln Riley can be competitive in the Pac-12 next year, and Napier could potentially be good. It just matters who's at quarterback. I think they have Emory Jones over there, but it's going to be exciting to watch. Coaching carousel is just as fun as all the recruits, and we're finding out where all the recruits are going to go. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I want to go into the AP poll. This past week was a really big week for college football, or this past weekend. It's Sunday, so yesterday. But obviously, I'm only going to talk about like the top 7, 8. I'll talk about the top 10 with a few notables. But AP poll has Georgia number 1, Michigan number 2, Cincinnati number 3, Alabama number 4, Oklahoma State number 5, Notre Dame 6, Ohio State 7, Ole Miss 8, Baylor 9, Oregon 10. So I like it. Obviously, Alabama almost losing to Auburn should have moved them down. I didn't think that they were going to get moved down. Michigan moved up to 4. I think that's very fair. It's a good team. It's maybe Harbaugh's best team, or if not, that's maybe it. He is the best, probably Harbaugh's best team. Cincinnati at 3 surprised me. I still don't know if they're going to actually make it through, because a lot can change. If Bama beats Georgia, they both will probably make it still. And then Michigan should beat Iowa, so that would take – so Pac-12 already gone. They're not going to get a team. It's very possible that both Alabama and Georgia get in. I would say it's pretty high. Michigan, so there's your 3. Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, I think are almost locks to me at this point. Because I think if Bama loses, they still get in. And as long as it's not by like an absolute ridiculous mark. And if Georgia loses, they should still get in. Michigan, if they take care of business and beat Iowa, obviously they're going to get in. Cincinnati does not have that competitive conference game championship that's going to put them over, and I don't see how you could, if Oklahoma State takes care of business, beats a Baylor, Oklahoma State's only loss is to Iowa State in a controversial game by the refs, and I think it was by 1 score. So how, as much as I love the Cincinnati story, how can you not put Oklahoma State in there if they're able to then take down Baylor, who Baylor's a 9? They just took down OU in a very good game. Like, it's still very, very possible. The only current way that I think Cincinnati gets in is because all the other guys aren't going to get in. Notre Dame's not going to get in. They do not have good competitive wins. Obviously, Ohio State's not going to get in. Ole Miss is not going to get in. I don't think a 2-loss Baylor even has a chance if they beat Oklahoma State in their championship. So you're really going down to Georgia. If Cincinnati's best chance is praying that the committee, for some reason, I mean, that Auburn game really helped Cincinnati. They need Georgia to kill Bama or to just beat Bama, and the committee to look at Alabama and say they almost lost to Auburn by a score. Because if they lost to Auburn, Bama would be out of this. I don't think even with winning the SEC would probably – see, that's the thing is – Bama's so – it's Bama, so – I mean, that's all I got to say is Bama. But I think Cincinnati's path is Georgia killing Bama, or just the committee saying, okay, Bama has 2 losses. Even though they may have hung close with Georgia in the conference game, an undefeated Cincinnati, who would be 13-0, deserves it even more. And let's say Oklahoma State beats Baylor, which I think is very doable. I think you could see a Georgia, Michigan, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, which would be so much fun to watch. Because that's only one of the juggernauts in there. Which, I mean, you can call Michigan a juggernaut, but they really haven't been good for a little while, so I wouldn't. You'd see like Cincinnati playing Georgia and then Michigan playing Oklahoma State. That's just fun. It really does give a chance for a Big 12 team to make some noise, because I think Oklahoma State can match up well against Georgia. Their run defense is quite good, and that's what Michigan is very good at. But I think at this point in the season, the only, like, because I just don't see how they could throw a Notre Dame in there. But I think the only teams available to make the playoffs are Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, Bama, Oklahoma State. I think that's it. I think it's those top 5. I mean, you can throw Notre Dame in there. I just don't think that they should have a chance. I don't know what their path would be, and I'm not going to come up with their path. I don't really know what their get would be. I don't know who is your Heisman. because Bryce Young didn't play very good against Auburn. I know he led the comeback and the comeback drives and stuff, but he wasn't that good. He just really wasn't. C.J. Stroud played really – I think it's probably C.J. Stroud because he still played good in the Michigan loss. I mean, he didn't play fantastic, but he still threw for like 360. I think Bryce Young only threw for like 200 or something, if that. But that just leaves – that's why whenever the transfer portal gets I think you can already drop commitment, and I think transfer is open, but – like a Quinn Ewers at Ohio State. If C.J. Stroud as a freshman wins, or if he's a sophomore, I think he's whatever. He's not going to declare this next season, so C.J. Stroud's going to play another year at college. But if C.J. Stroud wins the Heisman, does Quinn Ewers transfer potentially back to a Texas where his original commitment was? Because how much does he just want to play immediately? Obviously, he left high school partially because he knew he would get guaranteed money, and he did. He's making a good amount of money not doing anything right now except for working out, and I know he's working his butt off. But also, how quick does he really just want to play at this point, and how ready is he to play college football at the high D1 level in a Power 5 school? Does he transfer, and I would believe he'd have eligibility next year to be able to play on whatever team? Eligibility rules still, I don't understand, but I believe he shouldn't. As long as I think he's released by his Ohio State, then he would get eligibility, but they may not even do that, but yeah, Quinn Ewers, I know it's a little bit of a random tangent, but it C.J. Stroud looks like he has that job for as long as he wants to play at Ohio State. So Quinn Ewers the number one coming out of the 2022 class. I guess that makes him the 2021 class now, because now it's, I think, Cade Klubnik in 2022. But Quinn Ewers could potentially transfer, and that would just shake everything up. But let's switch sports here, and then to finish this off, big baseball moves. Marcus Semien, I just talked about in my last podcast, so I hope the Rangers spend some money. Marcus Semien coming to the Rangers on a 7-year deal, $175 million. I don't know how I feel about it. He hit like 45 homers last year. I think he won a Gold Glove. He was fantastic, third in WAR. It's so goofy that I'm being, you know, I'd say that I want them to spend money, and then whenever they do, I get mad about it. I think, obviously, he's 31 right now, so he's going to end at like 38. I like it. I want to see what else they do, but I do know that we have not had the best of luck signing these big guys that are a little bit like mid-30s, and it seemed like a Senshu Chu, I believe, and there's definitely other cases that I'm not thinking of. But I just hope that he's able to maintain somewhat what he did this past season, because, I mean, he was like third in MVP voting behind Shohei and Vlad, and in many other years he'd be even higher than that because those dudes went crazy, obviously. But I mean, I like it. I want to know where he's going to play. Are they going to play him at short or second? He has the versatility to do that. Not a pretty decent defender at this point in his career. He's gotten a lot better. Yeah, I mean, if we get 5 good years out of that contract, I'm happy with it. Obviously, I like to get all good 7, but it doesn't always happen like that. But if he's a pretty high WAR player for the next 5 years, that's a good contract. And I'm very interested to see what else they do, if they still want to try to bring in one of the shortstops, if they want to handle or tackle the pitching. It's just, we haven't seen the Rangers go out and sign anybody in many years, it feels like, of substance. So it's exciting, and I need to just kind of lay back on it. They still have money to spend. They don't have anything locked up, so they, if they actually want to spend money, like they've said, they should spend money. Other notables, I think Byron Buxton re-signed with the Twins for $100 million for his injuries. He was really freaking good. Hopefully he can play a full healthy season, and that guy can be a top five center fielder in the league. Garcia is going to the Mariners, or the Marlins, I think. Sorry. That one's of less note. Yeah, Marlins. I apologize. Corey Kluber going to the Rays. Rays will probably turn him into something fantastic again. Wouldn't surprise me. That's the Rays. That's just some notable baseball stuff. To recap, Lincoln Riley news, crazy. Billy Napier, also very good coach. Very excited to see the next few weeks of coaching carousel and recruitments and transfers and all that's to come. MLB offseason is always fun to watch. I enjoy it a ton. What else do we have? That's really all I talked about. I call it talking. Very interesting college football and baseball discussion and big news today. So now we just wait on some of these offers. Who takes the OU job? You know, is it somebody on staff or is it somebody not on staff? Who goes for the LSU job? Gary Patterson, yes, he soured out here in TCU, but he's still available. Where does he potentially go? Does Texas stay with Sarkisian? I would assume that they probably do. So, college football, very interesting. I think it could be so much more interesting if the committees weren't terrible, if they would open up the playoffs, if they would make voting more clear on how they vote for these teams to be where and where they are. But, yeah, this has been Teenage Sports. Thank you for listening. Like and share, give it a comment if you can. Sharing really does a lot, and thank you. I will and listen to my other podcasts. I have some very good other talks. We broke down the Texas OU stuff when that happened. It's a really good podcast. But yeah, thank you and goodbye.